When one mentions the word change, you invoke various feelings within people. Anxiety, fear, worry, doubt, suspicion, rebellion, stubbornness, and even anger at times. There's a story about an ecumenical luncheon that was happening in town one day, where all of the different churches were involved in coming to the lunch, the different denominations in that town. And as they gathered together and it was time for lunch, they sat at the lunch tables there in the banquet hall. And fire broke out in the kitchen. Well, the Pentecostals all jumped up and yelled, "Fire, fire, fire." The Baptists jumped up and yelled, "Water, water, water." The Presbyterians, they started shouting, "Order, order, order." And the Methodists just sat there and said, "Oh no, this is going to change everything." Now we laugh at that a little, but it's meant to show us that our response to change is very detrimental to our lives, the outcome of things in our lives. You know, we're bombarded with products nowadays that say new look, same great taste, whatever. I remember how aggravated I was when they no longer carried the hair gel that I like to use, so I had to change, and that was just a depressing process for me. Change is one thing most people over the age of 8 dislike the most, but in fact, it's the thing that we all, every single one of us, participate in more than anything else in life is change. Every single day we're bombarded with change. There's the saying that says that we cannot step in the same river twice. You dip your toe in the river and take it back. Maybe 5 seconds, 10 minutes, 5 hours, you step in it again. It's not the same river. Things have flowed on. And new things have come, if you understand the concept behind that. What is it that we don't like about change? The answer is, we're being forced to swim. Bob Dylan years ago sang a song, "These times they are a-changin'." And the song implied that we either have to swim or we're going to sink. The definition of change is to put a thing in place of something else, to exchange or to make different. And when we search our hearts, the reason we don't like change is it means giving up control. It means letting go of things. It means learning something new. And we tend to get a little lazy in life and complacent. We like things the way they are, and we're good with things the way they are, and we don't have the strength to learn new things to progress on. As I was looking through one of my books the other day, I found an interesting letter that was written to President Andrew Jackson. Now get a load of this. This is hilarious in our day as we look back now. In 1829, this was written to President Jackson of that day. "The canal system of this country is being threatened by the spread of a new form of transportation known as railroads. The federal government must preserve the canals for the following reasons. One, if boats are supplanted by railroads, serious unemployment will result. Captains, cooks, drivers, repairmen, lock tenders will be left without a means of livelihood, not to mention the numerous farmers now employed in growing hay for the horses," you know, the horses that pulled the canal boats. "Two, boat builders would suffer, and tow line, whip, and harness makers would be left destitute. Three, and this is the most hilarious, canal boats are absolutely essential to the defense of the United States. In the event of an expected trouble with England, the Erie Canal would be the only means by which we could ever move the supplies so vital to waging modern war. As you may well know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines which, in addition to endangering life and the limb of passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, and frightening women and children. The Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed. Sincerely yours, Martin Van Buren, Governor of New York, who was later to become president. Now, you see, we laugh at that, but it seems like we're stuck also in our own time and place, all of us, in some way. And we kind of want to laugh about this a little bit, but I want to talk about change, period, over the next few weeks, and found this a great way to start this. Change in and of itself is neither good or bad, okay? Change is neither good nor bad. What might be bad for one person might be good for another. How we let change affect us is what determines for each one of us whether change is good or bad. How many of us here this morning would like to take the heating system out of the church and we'll go back to the old coal stove? Or we'll tear down all the electric lights, tear down all the wiring, and we'll go back to using candles. Or how about we trade in our cars that we drove to church in this morning and we get buggies and start traveling to church? You see what I'm saying? We've made such changes over the years, but there's a point in each one of our lives where we say, well, this is where I draw the line. I'll change to here, but I'm not going any farther. Or I'll change over here, but I'm not changing back here. You see how we do that? Because we don't want to lose control. And that's what happens when change is forced upon us. We feel like we're losing control of life. Perhaps two of the most influential changes of our time have been the computer and the cell phone. Those two instruments have made our world a global community. Now we here in Elamsport can reach out to people across the globe to communicate. And it's changed the way we've communicated, and I personally think it has made it more complicated. Because now we not only can communicate with others in many ways, we have to, first of all, before we communicate with them, sit down and decide or remember how we communicate with that person. Because everybody communicates differently now. Some by phone, some by email, some still write letters in the mail, some do it by texting, some do it on Facebook. There are all these means of communication now, all because of the computer and the cell phone. Unfortunately, change has a make or break effect on us today, including our relationship with God and how He wants us to move forward as a people of God and the Church of Jesus Christ. It either makes us or breaks us as a people of God. Change and how we deal with it and how we move on in our Christian lives. Years ago, Henry Fry, who I believe was the county commissioner at the time, gave me some of the best advice that I've ever had in my life. He just simply told me that if we are not moving ahead, we are going backwards in our lives, because the world continues to move ahead. And if we're not moving ahead, we're just simply moving backwards, technically. When one looks at the world today and how things are changing, first of all, a lot of us will ask, is this what God intended? Is our world today what God really intended? In a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. God Himself, I want you to think about this, God Himself has initiated change since the creation of the world. So the best way to deal with change is to turn to God for guidance. Let's look at some of the biblical change that involves God. We're going to see that God is a God who does not change Himself, but initiates change in human beings. And there's a reason for that that's relevant to us today, and I'm going to get to that here in a little bit. We think of Adam and Eve. What happened with Adam and Eve? They had it good until they decided to disobey God, and things changed, didn't they? Things change. Look at Noah. Noah's life changed. The world itself changed because evil had spread and become rampant in the world. So God sent a flood. Had Noah not embraced the change and built a boat where there was no water in sight, he also would have drowned. We think of Moses. Moses was God's man. His life changed. He went from riches to rags. I guess I want to say to riches again. High up in Egypt as an official. He became God's spokesperson and lived with people in the desert, only to take the people to go back to Egypt and free his people, the slaves there. Completely changed the economics and the labor force in Egypt at the time, as all those people left Egypt. Think of David. God sent Samuel to Jesse of Bethlehem. He went to 7 of Jesse's sons, but none of them were the one that God was calling to be the new king of Israel. But there was one, a little shepherd boy named David. David changed the whole society of Israel. Okay, his life changed, and he accepted God's call in his life, and because he did, but yet he stayed close to God, he changed the military outcome of battles and the whole future for Israel. Now he's known as Israel's greatest king. When God's people were taken captivity in Babylon, it changed their whole society and their whole culture, but God brought them back. See, there was constant change going on amongst God's people, and there always is. When I think of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, the world changed as it had never changed before. In Luke chapter 2, when Jesus is brought to Simeon in the temple, Simeon says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Oh boy, did that ever bring change. In fact, when the Magi came to Jerusalem looking for this newborn king, and they said, "Where is this one who has been born king of the Jews?" It tells us King Herod was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. Things were about to change. They were frightened. They were threatened. They were stubborn. They didn't want them to change. They didn't want somebody stirring up trouble with the Roman government. They were suspicious. They doubted. And some were even angry because of the change that was coming. God Himself is the creator of change. He's the creator of all things and is creator of change Himself. And Jesus, His Son, is the initiator of change. What was Jesus' main message? Repent. Turn from your old ways. Change. And He was the initiator, and still is, of that good news. Change your way and turn to the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. God's the creator of change. Jesus is the initiator of change. So that leaves us with the third person, the Holy Spirit. And this is where it gets good for you and I. Because we struggle with change so much. The problem is when we allow change to control us and draw us further from God rather than allowing God's Holy Spirit to give us the strength and the perseverance not only to swim but to thrive amidst change. Because when we view change in a biblical and spiritual way, we soon find that change is often God's way of working in us that we might be all He wants us to be. I want you to think about that. The greatest blessings in my personal life have come through change. Now, when God called me into pastoral ministry, big change in our lives, walking away from one type of life to a new type of life. I'll never remember the morning they dropped us off in the little village of New Millport, 15 houses in this little tiny village in the middle of nowhere. It had snowed. There were snow on the ground. It was February. I walked down on the porch. The moving truck came, dropped all of our stuff off, moved us in, and I'll never forget as I stood on the porch and watched the moving truck drive away. The feeling I felt in my heart, the immense change that was taking place in our lives with two little kids. I said, God, what is it that you want to do with me through this? Oh my gosh, we'll be here all day if I stood and told you all the great blessings through that change in my life. But I knew that if I didn't accept it like Jonah didn't in the first place, that I'd be in a whale of a problem. You see, that was Jonah's problem. He didn't want to accept change in his life. He didn't want to accept change in the Ninevites. So he took things in his own hands. In order that we might be all God wants us to be. And today we begin that journey for the next several weeks involving change. When we see that change is inevitable and that God is present in change, we can learn to trust God to use the change to make us all He wants us to be for the glory of His kingdom and the praise of His name. In our reading from James this morning, James says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Therefore, we can rely on Him. We know what to expect from Him. And we know the outcome of certain actions from us towards God. Okay? He does not change. But every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And sometimes it comes through change. Because He chose to give us birth through the Word of Truth. You know, the Bible tells us that everyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We're changed people. And God chose to give us birth through the Word of Truth, to be reborn again, to be new creations, to be changed through His Word of Truth, so that we might be a kind of first fruits of all creation. You know, the first fruits in the Bible are the sacrifices and the tithes. You see, He changed us. He birthed us in Christ Jesus so that we might be the living sacrifices and the tithes and the offerings of praise to God, so that we might be who He wants us to be. The first fruits are the tangible evidence. You know, when we think about fruit on a tree, you have the branches, the leaves come out in the spring, the blossoms come out, but you still don't have the fruit. The fruit is the tangible and actual manifestation of all that's working in that tree. The sunshine, the water, everything working together, the bees doing their pollination. So that we might become the manifestation, the tangible and actual presence of God in the world today. The first fruits are the end product, the successful result. And God changed us in Christ Jesus, so that we might become the successful result or the end product of what He formed us in our mother's wombs for. We're like the pot that the potter's working on, forming us. In our reading from Isaiah today, God said to His people, now again, we're talking about the second half of Isaiah where God gives consolation to His people. He says, "Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past." He had just got done saying, this is what the Lord says. I am the Lord, your Holy One. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. He who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and the reinforcements together. God's people have become so complacent, thinking, we're God's people. Nothing's going to happen to us. We're God's people. We're special. God said, don't rely on the former things. Forget them. Don't dwell on them. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The King James Version says, behold, I will do a new thing. Literally, He's speaking. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, what God is saying, I am doing a new thing. Things are changing And I want you to see this and accept it and understand it's coming from me. I'll make a way in the wilderness, speaking figuratively, and rivers in the desert. I'll make a way in the wilderness, a roadway, a path, a direction for you. I'll give you direction, and I'll give you nourishment and refreshment and streams in the desert. You see what God's saying? In the newness that was about to take place in God's proclamation and His prophecy through Isaiah, that things were going to change, the system of salvation, God's family was about to change to include the Gentiles in Jesus Christ. And He says, I want you to see this and know it's from me. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to provide all that's needed as those changes come about. Interesting, you know I like words, so I did a word search on the word new, and God says, I'm doing a new thing. Do you know what new means in the Hebrew language? It means new. It means fresh. Not old, not stale. And though we struggle with change, we have to understand God is constantly changing things in our lives because He doesn't want us to fall asleep and become complacent. He wants us to grow into the likeness of Christ so that we might be all we can be for His glory. The manifestation of Jesus in this world today as we proclaim glory to God and praise to God. He's constantly working on us, trying to change us. There's a story that this is actually true of a lady who resisted change. She hated computers. She didn't like her cell phone. She didn't understand how all this worked. She was a faithful woman who would sit every morning and read her devotions, three of them, from the booklets and from her Bible. This Christmas, she received one of these new tablets. You know, the kind that people sit and they do this, and they do this, and they do this, and this kind of stuff, you know. And to her amazement, she was bewildered why someone would give her that gift. It made no sense. She didn't know how to use it. It just was above her. She wasn't willing to change until she realized when someone said to her, you can get the Daily Bread on that. You can get the Upper Room on that. You can get a Bible app and bring up Bible readings anywhere you want that you carry that with you. You can do your devotions on it. In fact, you can go to those websites and somebody will read those devotions to you. Her eyes perked up. And all of a sudden, she started working and playing and now enjoys that little tablet. My wife. In fact, sometimes it's hard to get her off that thing at 12 o'clock at midnight. But you see, this is the thing we have to understand. I was one of those people also that struggled with computers when they came out. I was not going to get on one of those things. I was convinced that the number 666 in Revelation meant www. And that was going to be the end of the world. Until I started to open my mind and bought a computer and realized all of the time it saved me that I could spend serving God, making my life easier, helping out with my book work, helping out with my school work, sermons and searching, Bible searches. You see, it's our perspective and how we use these things. The jury's still out in my mind on cell phones. I like the commercial where the little boy's on the cell phone and they're telling him that his wait time is so many minutes and he takes it and throws it down. Well, that's me, by the way. But you see, when we ask, is this really what God intended? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It depends on how we take change in our lives. How we take what God's trying to do with us, whether we say, I'm not going to change and miss the blessings and stay exactly as we are now, not allowing God's hands to mold us and make us what He wants us. Or we can say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Mold me, make me. Use me, fill me. The question is, and always has been, is this what God intended? Well, we might never know. But we do know and will see that if we view change in a positive way and trust God to provide for us and show us how we can use change for His glory, we'll always be blessed people and will be the manifestation of Christ to the world. God is the creator of change, Jesus is the initiator of change, and the Holy Spirit lives inside us to help us be strong and to guide us through the changes so that we might praise God and become, as James said, so that we might be, what's his words? So that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He created. So that we might be. That's future. That's not present. So that we might be. God's constantly working on us, day in and day out. Sometimes I don't like it any more than you folks don't like it, but you know, change is inevitable in our life today. And we can spend all of our time resisting it and going backwards while the world keeps on moving, or we can say, I'm going to take this by the horns. Lord God, teach me how I can use this change in my life for Your glory, and I can become the manifestation of all that You have for me to be in this world for the glory of Your kingdom and the praise of Your holy name. We're going to be talking about this for the next few weeks, how God changes people and the blessings that we can enjoy from God through the changes in our lives. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, it's sometimes confusing to live in this world.